Welcome back to another episode of Community Guidelines. I stumbled a little bit there. I'm a little rusty. It's been a bit.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Welcome back, Dr. Dan. You survived the apocalypse eclipse.
Yeah, I was right in the pathway of the eclipse in Indianapolis.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you there when it happened?
No, I got out of there. Not because I, you know, didn't want, I just came back to work and,
yeah,
you know, an eclipse. I'm like, all right, been there, done that, big deal.
So stupid. All the hype.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Y2K when they thought everything was going to collapse.
Well, I think people just have too much time on their hands and they start looking for signs and symptoms and, you know, everywhere. And they just need to get a job, get back to work and, you know, not think so much.
Did you ever see that movie Apocalypto? Mel Gibson?
No, I didn't. That's the one that is not in English, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Indigenous cultures, Mayan culture, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in there where they have this, I think it's an eclipse,
mm-hmm.
and they're like sacrificing people up on these temple altars and stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah. Seems like forever people have used cosmic things to like control the masses, I think.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Moon goes in front of the sun. Well, you know, why not cut someone's heart out and, you know, put them up on an altar and drain them dry, you know?
I mean, that's exactly what they did.
Seems like a good plan to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was a little nasty. They'd throw their head down the big stairs of the temple and stuff. Everybody cheered. Yeah.
I wonder if that's where bowling came from. You know, head coming down, people at the bottom, and they start jumping out of the way. I don't know.
Speaking of movies, you going to the movies tonight?
You know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about going and seeing that Civil War movie.
Yeah, I just watched the trailer. I'd forgotten about it. I haven't been paying attention. Well,
have you ever seen the trailer?
No, I just watched it right before we hit record here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see that.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we have a good cross-section of Americana here in our office.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, I get scared for America.
Yeah.
Because I see some very... you know, able, experienced, you know, people that can do a lot of harm to people, and they mm-hmm. are just looking for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we got to figure out how to bring the country together and start to talk about our problems rather than, you know, I think the problem is when people quit talking to each other, that's when violence occurs.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and... So anyway, but yeah, it'll be a very interesting interesting movie, you know,
yeah.
And especially talking with cops and military and everything else. It's like, you know, people are choosing sides, even in departments. And, you know, you're like, wow, be very interesting, especially when, you know, if the shit hits the fan and, you know, you call the cops and they decide, you know, whether or not they're going to come, you know, to your aid or not.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already seeing it because of the, you know, the depleted levels of the departments, you know, up in Phoenix, we had, I mean, I've had what, probably half a dozen people that have shown up for, assaults.
You yeah. know,
takes the Phoenix cops half an hour to get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You've talked about that on here, like the decline in cops assigned to auto theft and yeah. just the depletion of the whole department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta, you know, I guess if you want to have the cops catch someone, you got to beat the shit out of them, hold them down, and
yeah, or start calling the Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call?
I had a great. So I had a patient come in, and he was a his former special forces, you know, so the guy knows what he's doing.
Sure.
And he was in another city, and his wallet got stolen, and he was like, was just here, you know. And so anyway, he's like, okay, let's go online and see if the credit cards are getting used, that sort of thing. And he
right.
goes, he did the worst thing possible. He goes, he went to a mall shopping.
Oh no.
So I called, he goes, so I'm looking at my phone because he didn't get my phone. I'm looking at my phone and I'm seeing where he's at because it instantly pops up on his credit card.
Yeah. Transactions are showing up.
Yeah. And
was he going to Spencer's?
Well, and the last place he went was Dick's Sporting Goods. And, you know, it's so stupid because, you know, they don't even try anymore. I mean, at least they used to look at the card and then, you know, like you could put CID and then they, you know, ask for your driver's license, check to make sure it's yours. Now that everyone just taps on this thing and
nobody checks.
Yeah. And so anyway, he goes up to this last one where, you know, it just had happened. And he said, hey, you know, someone stole my wallet. They just bought some shoes here 2 minutes ago. Can you point him out?
Yeah.
She goes, well, yeah, it's that dude over there with a suitcase. Yeah. And so he goes up to him and, you know, just kind of, you know, and this dude, he is, I know things about him that his family doesn't know. And he is used to violence, you know, in inflicting violence on people. And so anyway, he was like, he used a good term to call him. He said, hey, give me back my wallet. I actually refrained from cussing there. He goes, hey, give me back my wallet. And he said, the guy turned white and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And so he tackles the guy and he, you know, they do a takedown where they feel for weapons, you know, as they're taking him down.
Okay.
And he goes, I felt he had a knife on him. And so, so he got the knife and he throws it away. And I said, why'd you throw it away? He goes, 'cause I don't need it. And so the guy's flailing, you know, at him. And he's on top of him. And, you know, the guy knows some grappling, and obviously. And
yeah,
he just spins him around. And he goes, I put my knee in his back. And he goes, I grab him by the chin. Like,
okay.
You know, like, a, I don't know, like a, you know, some sort of surfboard or something like that. He goes, make a move, scumbag. I'm going to snap your neck like a twig. He goes, the guy went limp and, you know, everyone has their phone out and they call the cops and the cops come and they're like, are you ex-military?
Yeah.
Like, and he says, why? He goes, because no one tracks down the perpetrator of the crime. They just call us and expect us to follow, you know, and they're like, you knew enough in order to follow him around. But yeah, you know, I think that's one of the problems is that, you know, especially with that Civil War movie is that you have, you know, when people can walk out with, you know, $950 worth of stuff
right.
and no one can do anything about it. Now I see where California is actually suing 99-cent store and CVS or something like that, because they're saying that, well, if you close in California, that's an undue, you know, turmoil on our population. You know, not saying that, you know, you don't have cops and all of that aren't able to, you know, track these guys down because of the defund police movement. But yeah, so now they're trying to leave California, trying to leave these cities, and you know they aren't being allowed to. They're getting sued, and you know. But I
so
mean,
you got,
I,
so you got to keep your doors open, and you got to allow people to keep robbing you blind.
Yeah. I think that's the problem is, you know, there's a big division and there's many people that think that, you know, that should be fine because, you know, people need the sustenance and there's the other half that say, once you get a job and earn a dollar and go buy it like the rest of us, you know? So,
wow. Yeah. I'll probably see that movie. Man, I wish I was in that store when that guy, did he stuff him in the suitcase while the cops were on their way?
No, but, you know, I imagine that it took a little bit of time for the cops to get there. So I imagine, there are probably some good photos of him, you know, some good video.
That's pretty funny.
You know, but it's interesting, you know, because I think if you looked at this guy, he's not, he doesn't look like your typical, you know, military man, you know, like Jocko Willink or something like that, you know, high top, flat top. And, you know, just looks like some sort of, and, you know, and that's always the, you know, that's what I always tell everyone. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people that I've seen in prisons. When I see the prison beatdowns, they don't know how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you find someone who knows how to fight and you don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Good Lord, you are in trouble if you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You know, you mouth off to a high-level jiu-jitsu practitioner, and, you know, there's no way you're getting a lucky punch in there.
Sure.
They're going to break something, and you're going to spend some time in the hospital.
Jeez.
Well. But, hey, you know, it's just a movie.
Yeah. World's going crazy. I wanted to bring up something today. It's... I can't get it off my mind, and I keep seeing stories in the news about it. This whole gender-affirming care nonsense.
Well, I don't know nothing about that, so why don't you enlighten me?
I've talked about it a few times on here. I subscribe to the newspaper, the Epoch Times, or the Epoch Times. Mm-hmm. They just came out with an article, just today, actually. Puberty blocker use in boys may cause permanent testicular atrophy, irreversible damage to fertility, according to a study from the Mayo Clinic.
Is that right?
Now, they make a point to say that the study, it was published just recently, end of March, mm-hmm. and it's not yet peer-reviewed. Mm. So whatever that's worth, I mean.
Well, I wonder how much they get paid to do that study.
Yeah. So researchers concluded from a combination of gland atrophy and microscopic cell level abnormalities that the use of puberty blockers risks permanent damage to reproductive fitness. So we've talked about it on here before, that What Is a Woman documentary, mm-hmm. from Matt Walsh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the folks that he interviews, they talk about, they use this analogy of how it's like pausing the music. Mm-hmm. And then we can just turn it back on if we decide that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe this isn't for me. So the whole line is that the puberty blocking medications are just a temporary mm-hmm. thing, a yeah. reversible thing.
That's what they say. Well,
apparently not.
No shit. That's what I would say. If I read that article, I'd be like, no shit. And that's the end of the article.
So, I don't know. It just seems like it's not going away. And I feel like as a doctor, I need to be ahead of this and know about it, know what's going on and everything. I just got an email in my inbox this morning from a organization called GenSpect. Apparently I signed up for their newsletter a while back and I had forgotten about it. And I get this email. There's been a changing of the guard. There's a new director of the organization. And I'm like, what is this spam? And I almost just deleted it, but I'm glad I clicked on it because this is a pretty cool organization. They, you know, they speak out, they talk about the research, they talk about all these different concepts about gender affirming care, gender transition, and kind of poke holes in what the mainstream narrative is about it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said it on here before, I'm definitely not an expert in this. Mm-hmm. This is not anything that we studied in medical school. I'm sure you the same. I mean, did you remember any? This is like brand new. So I just learned today about this mm-hmm. thing called the Dutch protocol. You familiar with this?
Enlighten.
Not the Dutch test. We've talked about that on the show before. The mm-hmm. Dutch test, dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. We've got an episode on it several months back. Mm-hmm. Really good way of looking at hormones. Mm-hmm. So not the Dutch test. It's called the Dutch protocol. So this I'll just read it off their website here. The Dutch protocol is the current basis for medically transitioning youth.
It's the what?
The current basis. It's what?
Current basis across the world? What we're basing?
What
the
we're basing of? Medical
so this is the
gender
science.
Transition. So this is the science behind it.
Oh, that should be good.
Apparently.
I'm sure it's probably peer-reviewed and probably has millions of people in the study.
You would think. Mm-hmm. Guess how many participants were in the Dutch study?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 71 million.
You think so?
Sure.
Try 70.
70?
7-0.
Now, is that a problem? Or?
So when we look at research, one of the things that we want to look at is it what's called sufficiently powered? Mm-hmm. Is it a well-powered study? And what that means is how many people were involved? How many mm-hmm. people were studied? Mm-hmm. You want a study where they're studying more than 70 people.
Yeah.
You know, a couple thousand, 10, 20,000.
Sure.
That's going to help eliminate problems with statistical significance. Mm-hmm. You know, you get one out of 70 people, something happens to them, mm-hmm. versus one out of 20,000. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be statistically different. Mm-hmm. You know, when you
get
work
a good
all
cross section. Yeah.
Yeah, so 70 people. The protocol was, so the Dutch experiment involved identifying 12 to 14-year-olds who had a lifelong persistent and consistent gender dysphoria.
Well, at least they had an age limit, 12 years old.
I 12 mean, to 14.
You know what the hell's going on then, right?
The gender dysphoria worsened during puberty. Do you remember what you were like when you were 12?
Yeah. I knew I was a boy. I tell you that much.
I've got two brothers that still believed in Santa Claus when they were 12 and 13.
Is that right?
Yeah. It got to the point where, like, it didn't matter what we did or said. Mm-hmm. Like, they still believed.
They were interesting.
So, anyway, 12 to 14-year-olds, consistent gender dysphoria that worsened during puberty through several extensive screenings. So this was the protocol. They were administered puberty-blocking drugs between 12 and 14 years old.
And I'm sure that has great effects.
Which we know now can cause permanent damage, permanent change. They were then administered cross-sex hormones at 16 years old. So puberty blocking to block a natural, normal puberty based
on... They're given hormones in order to make them look like something they're not.
And then they're given, you know, estrogen for the male, testosterone for the female, cross-sex hormones at 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And then at 18 years old, genital and non-genital surgeries.
Is that right?
So that's the protocol. So that's what I guess is promoted out there is this medical transition.
Hmm.
Only 55 of the 70 patients were actually followed up on.
Mm-hmm.
15 of those dropped out because of complications, because they did not do well with this protocol. And one of them actually died because of complications with surgery.
So that's a good, 20%?
Something yeah, like yeah.
20% dropped out because
dropped out and were unable to be followed. So the Dutch protocol, they followed them until an average age of about 21. So they were only following them for like 3 years.
So you got 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
And then one died?
One died. Of the remaining 15 patients, so the ones that dropped out, a significant number developed complications that made them ineligible for surgery. This article doesn't go into detail about the complications. Several patients refused to participate in the follow-up, which, you know, 15 out of 70, that's a lot.
That's significant.
That's a lot. If this were...
I mean, I'm not a statistical mathematician, but that sounds like we're dealing with some numbers that aren't jiving.
Yeah. 21%.
Yeah.
21%. So if this was like 10,000 people, what would that be?
Mm-hmm.
10,000. Times 0.2.
2,100.
2,000.
Yeah.
Math is not my strong suit. Anyway, 20% of the people dropped out because of complications and were unable to be followed. And then they only followed them for like 3 years, which for such a life-altering thing, you would think that you would want 10 years of follow-up, 15 years of follow-up.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Well, you would think, especially anyone who has dealt in hormones like we have over the years, you know, even when you are a male trying to enhance your, you know, masculine appearance.
Sure.
You know, say you're taking steroids and that sort of thing. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you take, you know, a bunch of steroids and you look like Schwarzenegger in 6 months.
Yeah.
It takes years in order to look like that. And, you know, so you're telling me that they're giving them something that the body is not normally producing and they're cutting it off at 3 years, probably because, you know, I would imagine that there's probably a pretty specific reason why they are not following them past that.
Yeah, I would think. So, you know, if whoever's listening out there, if you're interested in following some of this stuff, this seems to be a pretty interesting organization. GenSpect, GenSpect.org. Mm. I'm going to dive into more of their stuff.
And that's called the Dutch experiment?
The Dutch protocol.
Protocol.
So, and this is apparently what modern kind of medical transition is all based on.
Is that right?
For me, I've got several issues and problems with this.
Well, what's the narrative? Because you said that this, what's the transitioning narrative? Just for some of those out there that, I mean, what do you...
So there's this concept of gender-affirming care, they're calling it, gender-affirming care. Mm-hmm. So whatever the patient says is affirmed, and encouraged and supported and turned into a medical issue.
Gotcha.
Does and that some of the stuff is talked about on that.
And from what I know, I mean, is there an age range? I mean, I've heard of some wacko parents that have 3 and 4 year olds that are raising their kids towards that direction because all of a sudden Johnny wears a dress, and
I've heard that too.
You know,
yeah, I don't know. I have definitely seen stories and about facilities that'll do transition surgeries like mm-hmm. under 16. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still minors.
I think California actually has some rules where they if you have some issues like that,
yeah,
then they don't let the parents know or something like that.
Yeah, almost like sanctuary. Yeah, you know, what the cities.
Parents,
you know,
yeah, what do the parents know? I mean, you know, teachers know everything, so they might as well go with their intuition with what they think should happen.
One of the major problems I have with this is that you're churning off oftentimes what it might be like a mental health issue
mm-hmm.
into a
you think?
A medical surgical issue.
Do you think that solves the mental issue? No?
Come on.
You know, I think one of the problems, you know, what is a reality is that I think that there's a pretty high suicide rate amongst these people. And once we see the full transition, I don't think the suicide rate actually changes much.
I think you're right.
And I think that you're hoping and promise that this will make everything right in your world, but it doesn't. And, you know, that's, and I, you know, I have a lot, you know, I've transitioned patients. I remember the first transgender person doctor that I met, and yeah. I did not know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
But
taking an issue like this and turning it into a solely a medical mm-hmm. diagnosis and medical situation where you're going to drugs and surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it solves everything. Mm-hmm. I don't. I get it. I there's people out there that have gender dysphoria where they feel like they're not the person they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But to, I don't know, to make such a permanent change mm-hmm. in a developing child
mm-hmm.
who is, their brain is still developing. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that like the nervous system doesn't fully mature until like your mid 20s.
Yeah. 26 years old, I think is the average peak.
I can't get behind this.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that if you ask the, you know, the normal brainiac out there that's splitting atoms on their spare time, that if you ask them, you know, should a 10-year-old get a tattoo? Probably not. That's mm-hmm. a permanent change. But can they decide their gender and start to take steps towards that without parents knowing? Oh, yeah, no problem. I mean, I've heard this. It's such nonsense. You know, I think the problem is that, you know, what they have to realize is that biology has a certain feature where you have normal development and the brain doesn't fully mature until it's 26 years old on average.
Yeah.
And I remember being 26 and not even knowing that yet. And I was like, wow, this, you know, actually my parents really did know quite a bit of stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, you start to see the world a little bit different. But I think that, you know, hormones have an effect. It's not, we're treating hormones like it's just a, you know, you think that you're going to change the outside and it's also going to change the inside and the way you think. But the problem is that you're altering something that has a normal pattern of maturing and you're changing that. And unfortunately, there's not enough studies out there to know what really happens. All we can look at is the cause and effect. And when we have the effect that it doesn't change the actual, you know, suicide rates of depression, you know, all of those things, you know, it's I think we need to take a huge step back, but unfortunately that is part of, you know, like this whole Civil War thing, which is we've been pushed so far, you know, and like with myself, once you get to a mature age, you know, if you aren't hurting kids, I don't give a shit what you do, as long as it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden when you're teaching my kid in school that this is a norm, that's when, you know, the majority of Americans, I think, have a big freaking problem with it.
Yeah.
And they're only going to get pushed so far, you know. I mean, a lot of people have an issue with it.
Another thing that comes to mind when I read about this kind of stuff is, you know, trying to make analogies, trying to make sense of it. You know, another situation, a medical situation that I've come across here and there, I wouldn't call myself an expert in it at all, is the after effects and the ongoing kind of maintenance and how you live your life after gastric bypass surgery. So, you know, I talk a lot about food and eating and diet with my patients. And the more I do it, the more I realize that food and eating habits and preferences and tastes and you know, traditions and habits, it goes so much deeper than I think that we think. I remember reading a paper one time a while back that that said that your taste preferences are begin to be established when you're in the womb based on what your mom eats and the food and things that get passed through the placenta and into the developing baby. Food, I mean, it's tradition, it's culture, there's religious aspects to it. You know, it goes so much deeper than just like fuel on a plate to keep you going. So it's happened a few times. I mean, I don't, like I said, I'm not an expert in like maintenance and how to manage, you know, after bariatric surgery. But one thing that I have seen is that it doesn't necessarily fix the problem for some patients. And if there's a strong like emotional component or some type of traumatic like history related to food and, and, you know, processing emotions and going to food as a resort to kind of calm your mind or like set things straight, you know, for patients like that, it can be very, very difficult, even if you do do the surgery. And, you know, they can blow through their surgery. They can gain all the weight back. They can have just ongoing issues with eating, which, you know, with some of the surgical procedures, they make like a little tiny pouch. You've got like a size of a walnut, you know, stomach. And if somebody has not worked through like emotional issues with food, that is not a good situation to be in.
Especially and when it can start to stretch.
So I think about that also in this context. Like if you're just treating it as a medical issue without trying and attempting to get to the underlying like emotional, psychological issues, then I think you're setting up kids for a lifetime of, you know, being a patient. You know, and no matter what you do physically, it's not going to fix it.
Well, I think you make some valid points, Doc. You know, I think you make some real valid points. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get too far off on this, but, you know, when we had a huge weight loss practice in Mesa, and I would ask some of the docs that were working for us, and I said, how much of it is, you know, when you see obese people come in, how much of them have mental issues? And they're like, oh, the majority of them. Not a, you know, not, I mean, they're talking like way up there. And, you know, so you have this mental aspect of it. And yeah, I mean, that, that should be addressed. But I mean, to me, it makes no sense. And obviously, you know, I've never even been close to that. But to me, it's like, when, you know, before you actually have your gut cut open, and then you have, you know, all of your extra skin that is cut off. And I see the scars that, you know, that a lot of these people do. And, you know, and the trouble is that, you know, health has to start, you know, mental health as well has to start when you're real young. And maybe that, you know, maybe that's where a lot of this stuff, you know, happens. I mean, whether you're trying to, whether you're being a parent that's trying to help a kid that, you know, instead of, you know, Johnny, take the dress off, you're a boy, you know. Let me see you that again, as opposed to this affirming, oh, you think you're a girl? Or I mean, I don't know what the hell they say. It doesn't even come across me, you know. But I think one of the, you know, when you look at the mental issues that people have, I mean, that really has to be addressed. We don't do a real good job of taking care of any of that stuff because of the suicide issues and just, you know, I mean, there's more SSRIs in our wastewater now than there has, you know. It's just amazing to me, and you know, that you would have, you know, going back to the, you know, the people that are fat, that they have all of that stuff cut off, and just huge amount, and the body never looks right. It, mm-hmm. it never looks right that if you had, if you realized that, hey, I'm a little overweight, I need to start getting in the gym, not eating so much, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It just ruins the body. And so even though you can have the surgery, it never looks the same. It's always, you always have this soft, you know, type of presentation. And I think that's the same thing with, you know, with kids, with this affirming, you know, as a chiropractor, you know, I'm in tune to how people look. And, the, you know, it's not just the outward appearance that a guy has breasts now and puts on eyelashes or whatever.
Yeah.
There's different anatomical changes that if you know what you're looking for, I can pick a guy or a girl out regardless of how they're dressing.
Yeah, yeah.
And regardless of, you know, it's just, there's just genetic anatomical differences. And you show, I don't even have to meet the person. You show me an x-ray, you show me a photo, you know, you show me a photo of extremities and I can tell you who's a man and who's a woman.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, to think that that's going to solve your problems. I mean, I think people with that, hey, you know, if you're over 18, you know, good for you. But I think that, you know, personally, I think that if a kid is having that issue and then we start going towards that, I mean, I think that's a major, major issue, and you're not addressing what the real problem is, and you're changing them for the good in someone who is so innocent, and they're trusting that you have their best interest in mind, but I don't think that that's, right. I don't think that's where we're at.
Right. I'll leave with one little nugget that's been on my mind, and I don't have the reference for it, but somebody just on Twitter just posted, I think it was Naomi Wolf, posted some statistics from a study. Mm-hmm. So several years back, I read an open letter to legislatures regarding DNA fragments in vaccines, written by a lady named Dr. Teresa Deischer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Terry. Right? Terry. Her and I went to school.
So one of the things that's known is that in vaccines, you have fragments of DNA, which can set off autoimmune disease, can set off all kinds of things. So, and one thing that's also known is that they use aborted fetal cells, aborted human fetal cells in the development and research of vaccines. So, let's just say, so this is something that's been on my mind for years.
It's like a horror movie.
Let's say you've got aborted fetal cells from a female, right? And then you're going to give Johnny 72 doses of vaccines before he turns 18, containing...
Is that what they're up to? About 72 hits?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Given Johnny all these vaccines on his regular well-check visits, you know? Trying to do the right thing, following the CDC schedule. So he's potentially getting introduced to fragments of DNA from a female and vice versa. So it's been on my mind since I read that letter, like, what is this doing to gender and sexual characteristics and
brain development?
Brain development. And so that's on my mind. I don't have any justification or papers. Obviously that's probably not something that's being studied, but I'm wondering if gender dysphoria and this explosion of it is also due to the huge rise in how many vaccines we're giving.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
You know, when I was doing the radio show way back when, we used to see where we would see, I think the youngest girl to enter puberty or have her menstruation cycle, it was like 8 at the time. And I think there's documentation for even younger, maybe even 4 or something like that. But, you know, if there's, you know, there's those factors. And one of the things that we used to see was the xenoestrogens in all of our food and the xenoestrogens, which were, you know, changing. And here again, that if you have a young male and you start to pump estrogen into them, it changes how they think.
Sure.
You know, same thing with testosterone. Hell, I'm a guy. I know when I'm on testosterone, that shit changes how I think. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
And that's after I'm fully developed.
Right.
You know?
Can imagine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
10,
not
a 12-year-old impressionable.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so much bullshit going on in the world that we're studying the effects of things that we shouldn't even study, because everything has been always, you know, how do we make more money? How do we, you know, have these lives that, you know, we can't afford or don't have or whatever? And, you know, it's just such a nonsense.
That's one of the things this organization talks about, is this GenSpect organization, is how they've now created this like billion-dollar industry of gender transition, gender transformation, and the ongoing medical care that is going to be needed for the rest of your life.
Oh, I see. You know, you see it the same thing with all the vaccination, you know, companies.
Yeah.
You know, you know, what's the next thing they're coming with? And now I see where, you know, now they're creating drugs that are trying to help with the issues of, you know, the damage. And I mean, we know, and it's such bullshit when, you know, when all of a sudden we have the, you know, we know that the DNA has changed with the vaccine that's been documented, but no one talks about it.
Yeah.
So
again, a lot of unanswered questions, and, but I think we still need to keep talking about it, because it's not going away. So
yeah,
well, one of our catchphrases on this show is informed consent. So you need to be informed, to be able to make medical decisions. So if all this stuff is getting hidden, then that's no bueno.
Informed consent.
All right. Well,
all right, Doc. It was good to be back with you.
You too.
You know?
Enjoy that movie tonight. You'll have to let me know how it is.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be pretty interesting.
Okay. Thanks for joining us on Community Guidelines. You can find our office online, downtowngilberthealthcare.com. You can find Dr. Dan on TikTok, Dr. Dan the Man. You can find me on Gab at ABND.
You can find both of us in the parking lot if you got something to say about it.
Yeah, man.
You got some problems with it.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us. Till next time.